Good morning. Welcome to our Wednesday devotion and prayer time. My name is Tom Lemler. I am a staff member of the Deer Run Church of Christ in South Bend, Indiana, as well as the director of Impact Prayer Ministry. We're talking and praying this week about hearing God's Word, hearing it in a way that we apply it, that we do what it says, and taking a look at various aspects of things that Paul wrote to Timothy about when he said, all Scripture is God-breathed and it is useful. And so already this week we've talked and prayed about the origin of God's Word as being God-breathed. We've talked about it being useful for teaching and that we hear the teaching within it so that we would do the teaching. And today we're going to talk and pray about hearing the rebuke. Not a popular topic in most times, at least not if it applies to us. But God's Word is designed for us to hear the rebuke when we need it and to be used to rebuke others when they need it. But we'll talk and pray about how that takes place. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 5 says, it is better to heed a wise man's rebuke than to listen to the song of fools. There are times where God's Word seems pretty blunt. He addresses sinful behavior in very specific ways. And it's designed that way so that we would hear the rebuke within it when we find ourselves tempted, when we find ourselves caught up in sin. And too many times we're more inclined, as the Ecclesiastes says, to listen to the song of fools. We like the platitudes, we like the excuses, we like the justification and the rationale as to why it's okay to do what we want. And so we kind of close our ears to the rebuke of Scripture and we open them to the encouragement of people. And unfortunately, it's not really the encouragement of people that our ears have been open to. It's the deceit of the enemy. You see, that's the contrast between the rebuke of Scripture and the song of fools. The enemy wants us to believe and wants us to act like sin is no big deal. Like we've got plenty of time. That might not be the best thing to do, but don't worry about it. There are people doing a lot worse things than that. And on it goes to trying to justify why we would veer away from following God's Word as absolute truth. And so in order to hear the rebuke of Scripture, we kind of need to be listening to Scripture. We need to be reading Scripture. We need to be meditating on it and memorizing it and allowing it to infiltrate every part of our life. And we hear the rebuke not in a way that is just words. That's not really hearing. But we hear the rebuke of Scripture when we allow it to change us, when we are transformed from the inside out. We are made new by the renewing of our mind. We hear the rebuke of God's Word when we're willing to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. When the Bible says, don't do that, we hear the rebuke when we don't do it. But if we continue on in sin, then the rebuke has meant nothing to us. Now, there are times where God says that we have a responsibility to use His Word to rebuke others, but even in those contexts, it's always done with a heart that cares for them, that longs to see them restored to Christ, to see them restored in relationship to one another. And so the rebuke and the things that are necessary is done gently. It's done out of love. It's done with a desire to build and restore, not to tear down and destroy. See, God's Word is filled with instruction. But we find example after example of people that failed to follow the instruction, and we see how God called them to change. We see how God called them to live differently, to act differently, to think differently. And rather than being upset and becoming defensive when we hear the rebuke of God's word, our appropriate response is, "Yes, Lord, your servant's listening." The rebuke of a wise man, and there is no one wiser than God, ought to bring about a change that is for our good. And it becomes a benefit to us. But so many times we've settled for second-hand scripture or even third-hand scripture. We settle for what somebody says somebody else has said. And, well, this guy said it means this. This guy said this is okay because it means something completely different today. This guy says that's not really what it meant then. And we miss the rebuke of Scripture because we're not listening to it. We're not hearing it. We're placating our senses and our ears, and we're closing our mind to truth. See, God's desire is that we would come to our senses. As the prodigal son wasted his inheritance and disrespected his father, they reached a point where it says he came to his senses and he realized that things could be different. His father wasn't there, but his mind seemed to have realized the rebuke of his father's words that brought about a desire to change, a desire for things to be better. And there are many times where we need the rebuke of God's word to wake us up, to bring us to our senses, to restore us to a right relationship. The psalmist would talk about the need for God to restore within him a goodness, a rightness, a peace. All of the things that get disrupted when we live life on our own without heeding the word of God, without giving it thought, without allowing it to direct and guide us. And it's in those moments that we find the rebuke of Scripture saying, "Come home." It's not a rebuke that condemns us, it's a rebuke that invites us. And it's that kind of rebuke that we ought to be using Scripture for in the lives of those that need to come home, in the lives of those that need to be restored, in the lives of those that need Jesus. Today, as we spend time praying, as you go about your life, will you be open? Will you allow your ears to hear the rebuke? Will you respond obediently and respectfully? Will you respond in a right way? Will God restore and renew within you a steadfast spirit as His rebuke brings you home and brings you into relationship? Would you spend some time today praying with me? Father, thank you that you are a God that loves us. Your love is so great that it does not allow us, it does not desire for us to remain in our transgressions, to remain lost, to remain floundering in sin. And because of that love, your word is filled with rebuke for those times where we give in to temptation, for those times where we entertain thoughts of temptation, for those times that we welcome sin, for those times that we justify sin, for those times that we make excuses. May we gaze into your word. May we hear the rebuke in a way that says, "Come home." And Father, as we use your word in the rebuking of others as they need it, may it always be done in that same spirit of welcoming them home, of inviting them back, of desiring a restoration and a rebuilding. Father, may we be those that apply your word to our life, that allows it to transform us, to change us into what and who we ought to be. Father, it's my desire that everything that your word says would be accepted and taken in and understood in the way that you mean it to be understood. Forgive us for those times where we twist it and we misrepresent it and we use it as a club to beat people with. Father, help us to take to heart the rebuke of your word and help us to come home as we come to our senses. And Father, as we come home, may we be very diligent in lifting up Jesus as the way home, that as we lift him up, many would be drawn to you. It's in his name that I pray. Amen. This has been our Wednesday, a devotion and prayer time. Thank you so much for joining me today. I do pray that your day is greatly blessed by God, so that you can be a blessing to others. Have a great day.